Conversations with College Readiness is a podcast featuring staff members from the Georgia Department of Education's College Readiness and Talent Development Team. These podcasts will provide information to support Georgia's AP community of students, teachers, and administrators. Welcome to Conversations with College Readiness. Hello, everyone. My name is Martha Smith, and I'm here with Allison Coker, and we both work with the College Readiness Team at the Georgia Department of Education. One of our primary responsibilities is to support the AP program and share information with Georgia educators. Today, we have two special guests with us as we discuss what it's like to be a College Board reader. Will you go ahead and introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Susan Barber. I teach AP Lit, and I am at Grady High School.
My name is Andrew Nichols. I currently teach AP Calculus, both AB and BC, and I'm a former AP Statistics teacher.
So as I said, today we are discussing a day in the life of a College Board reader. Before I let Susan and Andrew begin, I want to explain that to become a College Board reader, high school teachers must currently teach the AP course in a classroom and have at least 2 years of experience doing so. Two exceptions apply: teachers of a new AP course who demonstrate appropriate expertise, or online AP course teachers who also have experience teaching the course in a classroom for at least 2 years. This information can be found on the College Board website, www.collegeboard.org.
Well, welcome. We're glad that you were both able to join us today. So let's start out with, why did you decide to become an AP reader?
Well, 14 years ago when I started teaching AP courses for the first time, I got this stack of inherited resources, paper copies, you know, Xerox things that looked like they were a million years old. And I started digging through, because they were old exams, I started digging through those and analyzing questions and looking at the rubrics and just internalizing that all for myself. Didn't have the ability to be a reader then. Time went by, I got comfortable with it, with teaching the course, and I kind of felt like I knew how to grade the papers, but then the course and exam description has shifted a little bit. And I realized reading over the description that some of the stuff didn't quite match up with my notions that I had formed 14 years ago when I was teaching the course. And so I thought, well, I think I need to become a reader. And that experience helped fill in those gaps, open my eyes to things I did not know, strategies for teaching my students, but also just, you know, things about, oh, I need to grade it this way when I see my students do this, because I should be consistent and give them the best opportunity for success when they take the exam.
Thank you. Susan, how about you?
So I decided to become a reader because and like most AP teachers, I'm the only one in my building teaching the class. And the way that I teach best and plan best is when I collaborate with others. And of course, we have, you know, really strong English department, and I can talk to them, but the nuances of an AP class is just a little different planning for it. And so I just really was longing for this and needing this community of other teachers specifically teaching the content that I taught, just to bounce ideas off and hear what they were doing and just be a part of that community. So I think the community aspect of the reading is what drove me to want to become a reader.
Excellent. Can you give us an overview of the structure of the reading process? What's the training like? How do they calibrate so that everybody's grading the same way? What other people are involved in this, or is it just a bunch of teachers?
And do you have any fun?
Okay. It sounds so fun.
Yes. Yeah, okay, I have to say there's an enjoyable aspect to it. For the math exams, for all the exams, you're there for 7 days. You don't get any days off. And so my first year going in, I didn't realize that. I kind of, in the back of my mind, I'm going, I thought there'd be a break in there somewhere. There isn't. But the way it's structured, you get into a flow, and the days and the hours do go by quickly. For the math courses, we'll start off and we'll get trained on one specific free response problem. So everybody's sitting in a big room, and then there's a PowerPoint presentation, and they're going through, and they show you the exemplar and go through, okay, this is why they earned the points. And then they'll start going through, okay, here's another paper that didn't get full credit. Let's read through it and figure out what they were missing. And then you get into the minutia of, okay, this isn't what we were expecting, but if we see this specific thing, we're going to give them credit for it. We're going to give them partial credit for it because it still satisfies the intent of the question. So you go through training like that. They even give us clickers, and we get to vote. Like, we get to vote, and we don't get to leave the training until, like, 90% of us are, quote-unquote, on rubric, because that's the big thing. It doesn't matter whether you agree with the rubric or really understand why they wrote the rubric the way they did. Everyone has to be on rubric.
Mm-hmm.
And so you then sit down with a table of, I believe it's about 10 or 12 of us with table leaders, so 10 or 12 readers, and we get these big stacks of folders, and we start grading. And then when I finish a folder, like 20, 25 papers, I then take it, and it goes down to my table leader. They go back through it, right? And they see, okay, check, do we agree? Am I on the rubric from their mm-hmm. opinion? If we disagree and we can't come to a consensus, then it goes up to the question. So they have this whole process mm-hmm. to make sure that everybody is following the rubric and the grading is done very consistently.
Wow. Susan, what can you add to that?
So I'll talk a little bit about how we calibrate in English, and I would imagine the humanities in general would be that way because it's slightly different. It's more subjective when you're grading writing. So we will go in the morning in lit specifically, or even if you're in a history class, every room will be divided by what question you're on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll have like 350 people per room in lit, divided out by question one, question two, question three. And we'll read student, you know, we'll read the passage, read student samples, and then read samples, you know, for us to calibrate with. And they will just say, like, maybe these are evens or these are odds, and we'll warm up that way. And then we will start looking at them and scoring them on our own. We usually, and talk about why we think it's this, why we think it's that. We will usually start live books or sometime around lunch on the first day.
On the first day, okay.
So we will calibrate for, you know, two or three hours, and then we will start in live books. And like Andrew said, they are back reading our books, but it's only on occasion. So they're not checking, rereading every essay, but they will spot check. And then as the week goes on and we're more comfortable, then, you know, they will move more and more away from that. No matter how much you calibrate in writing, there's still just some subjectivity
right.
to
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
And so we just make the best decisions
mm-hmm.
that we can. And again, it's very collaborative, and we can say, what do you think about this? Our table leaders are trained. They have OCHOs over them. So, you know, there's always help if
mm-hmm.
somebody doesn't know how to score it. But we always say, you reward them for what they do well.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
if we're ever
mm-hmm.
in doubt, like, oh, should it be this
mm-hmm.
or this, we'll always reward, you know, for what they do well, give the student the
mm-hmm.
benefit of the doubt
yeah.
when we can. So that's kind of how it works in the lit world. We have a new rubric this
right.
year. So it is going to be, I think we'll calibrate a lot longer.
And this will be a good time to be a new reader for the
exactly.
Lit. Yes, that's
yeah.
a good.
So
yep.
it'll take a while
mm-hmm.
this year for everybody to adjust
right.
from the holistic
right.
to the analytic rubric.
Let me pick up on the idea of camaraderie that
mm-hmm.
you mentioned and kind of the social aspect of it. When you're grading, the person directly beside you is your partner. And
oh,
so
great.
The first few books that you read, you read them with your partner and make sure that y'all agree on what you're doing. And then you start reading separately, and then you turn to your partners your first time. So, like, does this satisfy the rubric? What do you think about this? And if y'all can come to consensus and you're confident about it, you're great. You move on. If not, you go to table leader. So you start developing this really close relationship with this partner that you have. But even because of that reason, people that have been doing this for multiple years, they make friends
uh-huh.
that they only see at the AP yeah. reading every year. And if somebody misses a year, they're like, oh, I didn't get to see so-and-so. You go to lunch in a big kind of cafeteria setup,
right.
and there's tons of food, by the way.
College Board takes care of their ears.
Yeah,
oh, that's
they
awesome.
Really do.
Yeah.
And it's like it's like a college cafeteria. Like people are like finding their people
right.
and sitting at tables because
right.
you might not be grading with the same people, but you might want to go and seek out the people that you were that you met last year or have known for 10 years doing this.
When you actually are grading, do you have? I always have this image of this clock ticking. Do you have to complete a certain number of essays in a certain time period?
No.
You're under
no.
no. Okay.
No, no, no.
So
they're more concerned. The concern is accuracy
right.
and just giving every student a fair reading
mm-hmm.
of their
nice.
Work,
yes.
you know. And in the lit reading, we're always reminded, like, this is someone's kid.
Mm-hmm.
This is someone's
yep.
student. And, you know, think about your student's essays sitting
yes.
here. You want them to not be rushed through. You
right.
want them to get the attention they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not pressure for time. And it will start slowly.
Yeah.
But by day four,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
you're picking up
pace
yeah.
in the reading.
I agree with that. A lot of math people being math people, we kind of keep track of how many books we're reading and
mm-hmm.
like in an hour I've done this many. And you'll see your per hour number go up. But that's we're just doing that for
yeah,
ourselves. Nobody's
fun.
Checking
right.
that
right.
for us.
And, right.
and it's just kind of fun to see, oh, I can still do quality work and stay on the rubric, but now I can read twice as fast as I
right.
could
yeah.
on day one.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you have talking about the fun aspect of it too. You have the evenings free, so
mm-hmm.
if you're able to go, if you're in Denver or wherever the city is, you're able to go do a little
mm-hmm.
sightseeing. Or,
yeah.
Yeah. yeah, so typically what they do is they'll have a professional development night, and with Lit, they bring in a poet
mm-hmm.
to speak, or an author, but the last several years it's been a poet. Do they bring in, like, what? I've always
yeah,
wondered, what do they do in the math? I'm pretty sure they
yeah.
don't bring in poets.
We'll have a keynote speaker.
Uh-huh.
It's typically a college professor, and sometimes it's a high school,
uh-huh.
a high school teacher, but it's going to be somebody of note that the community
uh-huh.
knows,
right.
because when you get into this, you'd like, you know who the
right,
people
you know the
are
superstars.
Up here.
Yeah.
You know this. You know
yeah.
the superstars, and so they'll invite somebody, and it'll be a math talk
yeah.
usually,
yep.
And sometimes it'll be about instruction. Sometimes it'll just be about this fun math thing.
Yeah,
it's fascinating mm-hmm. because it really sounds like it is not only a great learning experience for a teacher, but inspiring also.
Yes, for sure.
And building that community. So there's so many different aspects of it.
Yeah, it's great. So we do, that's one thing we do. There's also like College Board will do like a, not a professional development, in addition to the professional development night, they'll do a night where you meet with the College Board content specialist and you know, even other College Board people will come out and just talk about this is the latest thing that's going on at College
mm-hmm.
Board. These are the trends that we're seeing. These are with Lit, with the changes that have been coming and came this year, you know, the new rubric and the new CED, that was a big discussion
mm-hmm.
on these nights that College Board
mm-hmm.
Hosted where we could hear from them. So that's always interesting because you feel like you're just getting like, you know, the inside
yeah.
information. Also, they'll give us a stipend a couple of nights to go out, like you said, and see the city. I was in Salt Lake this year, and we went to Park City one night had dinner.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we do try to get out and sightsee
right.
while
okay.
we can.
Yeah, there's usually several locations. Every year I've gone to Kansas City, Missouri,
mm-hmm.
which if you've never been, it's a beautiful city,
mm-hmm.
but it's not a huge city, but it's got some interesting architecture
right.
and culture and museums and, you know, interesting things to do in the evenings.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
My last question would be, how has this experience impacted your teaching?
Well, like I said, for me, I learn best. And I think I teach best when I work in collaboration with other teachers. So it's funny, on our nights that we have stipends to go out, we're all like, okay, we've been reading essays for 5 days. We're not going to talk, no work talk at dinner, you know, and we'll sit down and like 10 minutes in,
words.
It's like, so when you taught Othello, tell
yeah.
me what,
yes,
like,
I
it
know.
Just always
mm-hmm.
turns back to that because
mm-hmm.
we're just all passionate about what we do. And it's that opportunity to talk to people who, like I said, we're the only ones in our building doing it. So we're, you know, able to share ideas. So I think just like I heard one time, like, teaching is the art of remix. And that is so true. So I'll go and hear what other people are doing. And then I bring that back and I kind of, you know, wet it with what I'm doing and make it work for my kids and my style. And then we'll share back out to the community, you know, oh, this is, I took this idea from so-and-so and then turned it into this. And then somebody takes my idea and turns it into this. So I think we just help each other get better. I will say, I do think like the thing that has been the most beneficial is maybe not even necessarily taking these ideas back to my AP classes, but taking what I learned at the reading back to my on level or general classes.
Nice, yeah.
Because those students deserve research-based strategies and great teaching and great teachers. Mm-hmm. And so to rub minds, to share ideas with, you know, some of the brightest in the field and take that back to my AP and on level classes, I think it's just really beneficial all the way around.
Yeah, I would have to reiterate some of the things that she said. That you get new ideas, you bring them out your room, you know, your classroom, you kind of make them your own. But for me, it challenges me with the content because I have to look at a problem from not just the way I would approach it or I would think I would, but I have to look at that rubric and look at how other people look at all the way the different students have solved it.
Mm-hmm.
And is there a better way to demonstrate this or to justify this? And then I can take that information back to my students and give them that advantage for the next year.
So again, it sounds like you both would wholeheartedly recommend AP teachers to apply to become a reader.
Oh, absolutely.
Try it out. Well, we appreciate all of your insight and appreciate your enthusiasm and your support of the AP program. And good luck finishing up the school year.
Thank you.
Thank you.